What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. And oh boy, do I have a treat for you guys today. So the guest for the podcast is my new friend and wrestling partner, Nick Santanastasso. And he's someone who I had a chance to, I've seen him online a whole bunch of times in a whole bunch of different places. And then he reached out to me out of the blue and said, "Hey, Russell, can I interview for my podcast?" And I knew that he'd wrestled. And I was like, "Dude, yes." And then I was excited. So I'm like, "Yeah, I love your message. I love who you are. I love who you stand for." And he's like, "If you want, I'll actually fly out to Boise." And at the time, I was just sitting in my wrestling room. I knew he was a wrestler. I was like, "Dude, how about this? You come out, and then you can interview me for your podcast, and then I'll actually wrestle you in my wrestling room." And he was like, "Yeah, that'd be amazing." And so we planned this whole thing out. And the week before Thanksgiving, he flew out here to Boise, and I did an interview for his podcast, and then we came back to my wrestling room and wrestled. And obviously, my entire family wanted to meet him and to see him. And if you haven't met Nick before, he has no legs and he only has one arm. And his story is amazing. And the fact that he was a wrestler is even cooler. And so me and him wrestled. And after we got into wrestling, we had so much fun. Then everyone, my kids and my wife and my parents were there. And everybody had a million questions for him. So I said, "How about this? Let's do a little mini seminar with my kids if you'd be willing to." And he's like, "Sure." And so we pulled up some wrestling, we pulled up some of the mats and the crash pads and the box jumps, and we had everybody sit on them. And then Nick had a chance to kind of tell some of his story and talk to the kids at a really cool level. And it was really fun. One of my kids was really nervous asking questions. So he thought I was going to get mad at him. Anyway, it's fun. You have a chance to hear from kids. You ask him questions and hear Nick's story. And I hope that you love it. It was one of the highlights of my year. Super special opportunity for me and for my family to have a chance to meet someone like Nick and to hear his story. And it's just a huge blessing that I think he gave me to be able to have him talk to my kids. And so I wanted to share this with you guys because a lot of you guys have kids, a lot of you guys are kids, and a lot of you guys are different situations. And I hope that some of the things that Nick shared with me and my family, it'll mean a lot to you as well. So with that said, we're going to cue up the theme song, and we come back, you have a chance to sit in into a private discussion with my kids and Nick as they talk about life, about motivation, about doing your best, and a whole bunch of other cool things. So with that said, we'll keep the theme song. We'll be right back. So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, we're spending money from our own pockets? How do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets. Hey, everyone. This is Russell Brunson. I'm here in our wrestling room right now with a bunch of my kids and cousins and friends because we've got a special guest in town in Boise today who I just got done wrestling, which was so much fun. And this is Nick. We had a great time. And so thanks for coming and hanging out with us here in Boise and talking to all the kids.
You got it.
So kind of the game plan we want to do is I wanted my kids to get to know him and hear some of his stories and stuff for so many reasons. And so I love to kind of begin with, if you want to tell them a little about your story, about your life growing up in wrestling and just kind of some of the background. And then I got some cool questions about other stuff I want to talk about too.
Yeah, great. It's pretty open-ended when he says share your story. I got a long story. And so I'll give you a little context of why I was born like this. And yes, I was born like this. I didn't wrestle no sharks or anything. So you got some laughs. And so in 1996, I'm 24 years old. In 1996, my mom went in for a late ultrasound. And ultrasound is where they see, the baby inside the stomach. And they sat my parents down and said, "Something's really wrong." And they said, "From the looks of it, it doesn't look like your baby's limbs are being developed. It looks like he's missing his legs, his arm, and his face might be messed up." Clearly, my face isn't messed up, right? And so what they did was they classified me with what they call Hanhart syndrome. And Hanhart syndrome is a super rare genetic disorder that either leaves the babies with undeveloped limbs or undeveloped organs. And so that means the babies are either born with a heart that can't beat on its own, or their stomach can't, process food on its own, and they later on pass away. And so they told my parents that their baby boy has about a 30% chance to live. And so I was born, and the test of my organs came back 100% healthy, and the only thing that was affected were my limbs. And so I was born in this unicorn body of no legs and one arm, and all my organs are 100% healthy. And the always the little the lesson behind that is, you know, the doctor said I had about a 30% chance to live, and my parents made a massive promise. And that promise was that they were going to focus on the 30% chance of me living rather than the what?
You're dying.
The aggressive way to say it. And so the 70% chance of me dying. Exactly. And so in life, that's the... Ooh, careful. I know you beat me up earlier, but stay on here. And so the little lesson is, would you agree that there's always... In your life, there's always something bad that you can focus on. Would you agree? And would you agree that there's always something good that you can focus on? And so the majority of humans, and you can agree, the majority of adults always focus on the negative stuff. And so if we can train our brain to always focus on the good things, then we always win. And so that was how I was born. And then getting into wrestling, when I got into middle school and high school, which some of you, when you get into middle school and high school, at that time, a big portion of life was boyfriends and girlfriends, right? Like awkward phase getting into middle school and high school. I see people getting awkward, right? It's awkward. And so I felt like I stood out. Well, I clearly stood out because I have no legs, one arm. And there was a specific moment where I was on the bus and there was a girl to the left of me and she was making fun of everyone on the bus. And I'm like, oh my God, she's going to have a field day with me. And she looked over to me and she said, Nick, I don't even have to start with you. You're already too messed up anyway. Look at you. And I'm only a 14, 15-year-old kid, and the first question that pops in my head is, why me? Have you ever asked yourself, like, why is this happening to me? Right? And so I asked myself, why is this happening to me? And from that moment of one girl making fun of me, I thought things like, oh, I'm disgusting. I'll never have a girlfriend. I'll never go to a school dance. I'll never be able to walk my girlfriend to her locker because I can't walk. Is she going to hold my finger? Is that weird? Right? I just started thinking about all these negative things. And so for the majority of my life, I thought my body, my no legs and one arm, was the most disgusting thing, the biggest curse that life could give me. And then I was able to reframe it. And what reframing is like, say you have a bad event happen in your life, right? And I have the same thing happen to me. You could see all the good and I could see all the bad. It's what we focus on, yes? And so I realized a couple years later that if a girl doesn't want to be my girlfriend, or if someone doesn't want to do business with me because my no legs, one arm, well, wait, maybe this disability, or whatever you want to call it, is actually working for me, and it's filtering out the type of human and women that I don't want in my life anyway. And so when you show up authentic, when you show up transparent, and you show up yourself, would you agree that the universe makes it very easy to see who's your friend and who's not your friend? I mean, have you ever had a situation in school where you thought someone was your friend and they no longer was? Has that ever happened? And that means that we don't want those people in our life. And then you also have people in your life that love on you, right? Yeah, anyone have good friends here, I hope? Raise your hands. That's because you show up yourself. And so I have a quote. I have a quote on my arm. It says, you laugh at me because I'm different. I laugh at you because you're all the same. And that's not me making fun of people with legs and arms. But what I'm saying is, the best thing you could be, the most authentic thing you could be is who? Who do you think? Were you listening? You. You. You show up, Nora, and you're the greatest Nora that the world has ever seen, because you are you. And so we're going to grow up, and people are going to like us, and people are not going to like us. Who agrees with that? But as long as you show up yourself, the universe makes it really easy to find out who loves you for you and who doesn't love you for you.
Awesome.
Facilitator, where else would you like to go?
So now we're in high school, the struggling high school stuff, and you told me your older brother was a wrestler and you wanted to do that. I'd love to hear the story about wrestling, why you got involved in that.
Yeah, so my older brother was a wrestler. He's a really good wrestler, and I thought wrestlers were the coolest thing on earth. And so when I got into high school, I was looking for a way to build more confidence in myself because I didn't have much confidence. And so I wanted to do something that was going to make me feel really good about myself. And so I wanted to become an athlete. After my whole life, people said, Nick, you can't be an athlete. You can't do sports. You have no legs, one arm. And so one day I came into school. My friend said, Nick, you should try wrestling. And I said, I can't, my arm. And this, we call it the potato. It looks like a potato now, but it used to look like a chicken wing. You believe it? Do you believe it? And the reason why it looked like a chicken wing is because this arm was 5 inches longer than it is now. And my bone was growing faster than my skin. So it was super sensitive. And the bottom line is, if I would have hit my arm hard enough, my bone would have came through my skin. Yeah, crazy, right? And so I couldn't do any physical activities with it. And so one day I came home and I said, Mom and Dad, you know, I want to become a wrestler. And they said, you can't, your arm. And I looked at my parents and I said, can we cut my arm off? And they said, what? And I said, yeah, I'm not joking. Can we cut my arm off? Can we do something about it? And they said, is this something that you really want to do? And I said, it's gonna make me an athlete. I'll be able to wrestle. I'll have more confidence in myself. And so my sophomore year of high school, my parents scheduled the appointment for the doctors to amputate my arm. And so I have these scars here, but what they did was, and I didn't know they could do this, but they lasered 5 inches of my bone off, and then they pulled extra skin. Now you're taller than me. Then they pulled extra skin from my shoulder over my bone so I could beat people up with it. I remember right before I went into surgery, I said, Doc, if I can't beat someone over the head with my arm when I come back, we're going to have a problem, right? I need to be able to do some physical activities with this thing. And so I went throughout the surgery, and you know, I go back to school. I had like 17 stitches in my arm, and I was the happiest kid that just cut his arm off. I go back to school smiling, and people are like, Nick, what'd you do? I'm like, I cut my arm off. It's great. And they said, why? And I said, I'm going to become a wrestler. And people made fun of me. They said, Nick, how are you going to become a wrestler? You have no legs, one arm. And so I went out and I became a wrestler. My junior year, I got my butt kicked. And then my senior year, I was able to come out as the 106-pound varsity wrestler for my high school. And would you agree that that would probably instill confidence in me? I'd probably feel a little bit better about myself. I'm an athlete. Maybe the girls would like me. That's my thought process as a 16, 17-year-old kid. And then the app Vine came out. Y'all know what Vine is? You remember Vine? You remember Vine? Vine was an app that you could post 6-second videos, right? Raise your hand if you know what Vine is. Adults, raise your hand if you know what Vine is. All right, I'm going to educate you. So Vine was an app in 2014. I was a senior in high school where you can post 6-second videos. You had to be as creative as you can in 6 seconds. And so I wanted to create a way where I could make people laugh, but inspire them at the same time. And I wanted to do something that has never been done before. And so I thought, I was with my friends like this, and we were thinking of an idea. And I said, I got an idea. I said, how many legless guys do you see crawling around Walmart pretending to be a zombie? That was me. And so I said, that's a great idea. And so I'm a senior in high school, and I put fake blood on my face, and I put fake blood on my clothes, and I set out to my local Walmart in New Jersey, which Nick's not allowed in that Walmart anymore. And I go down the aisles, and I'm looking for my victim, and I see this guy, he's heavily invested in the paper towels. And I looked at my camera guy, I go, record this, I'm going to try to scare him. And so I came around the corner as fast as I could like this. And he goes, oh, and he threw the paper towels at my face. And I looked at my camera guy, I go, was that 6 seconds? He goes, yes. I'm like, yes, this is just what the internet needs. And so I apologized to the guy. I told him I wasn't a zombie and that I'm really alive. And thanks for letting me prank you. And I told my friends, pick me up and carry me out of Walmart before we get kicked out. And so I posted the video, and I wanted 500 kids to see the video. I wanted to get 500 views. I posted the video, and I went to sleep. And when I woke up for school the next morning, the video had over 80,000 likes and over 80,000 reposts. I go back to school. My friends are like, dude, you're the zombie king. And I'm like, what did I get myself into? And so in under a year, my senior year, I gained 1 million followers on Vine. And the owners of The Walking Dead, the TV show, hired me to fly out to Tokyo, Japan to scare the main actor of The Walking Dead as a zombie. And so, the lesson in this, don't try to crawl around Walmart. It probably won't work for you. But would you agree that we all have unique gifts? Unique ways to make people laugh, inspire them. For me, it was crawling around Walmart at the time. But we all have unique gifts. As you said, you know, God gives us unique gifts, and we have to use those. And so I used my unique body to scare people and make them laugh at the same time, which led me into going out on the internet and gaining a bunch of followers. And then I realized at one point that when I have kids and grandkids, then I want them to know me for much more than crawling around a Walmart. So I did what every kid with no legs and one arm kid would do, is I tried out for bodybuilding. Said no one ever. A lot of the times in bodybuilding, they say, you know, you have to focus on your legs, but most bodybuilders skip leg day anyway. And so I fit right in. Where do you want to go from here? Well, that's my zombie prank story. And so some of you may have seen my zombie pranks. You've seen them?
I've seen like the one where you called
me. Yeah. So that was high school Nick. I've evolved. I've come a long way from scaring people in Walmart.
That's cool. So you got into bodybuilding, and then I just want, because like one of the things I think a lot of us people don't do is like, we dabble in things, right? We're like, oh, we'll try this. I'm going to try this and try this. But when you decided I'm going to be a bodybuilder, it wasn't just like dabbling, right? You shifted your environment, you shifted everything. You want to talk about kind of the process there and what you did to be successful?
Yeah, what humans have, we all have it, is shiny object syndrome. Kind of like Nora. Nora has shiny, you like shiny objects, right? Stars and bells and whistles, and all humans like that. And so we try to do one thing and we're like, oh, maybe I want to try this over here. And so when I wanted to become a bodybuilder, I was living in New Jersey, and it's very cold in New Jersey most of the time. And so I moved to Florida because it's, have you ever been to Florida? Anyone? We got to get you to Florida. I know Boise's great, but I mean, Florida's great too. And so I moved to Florida and I wanted to become a bodybuilder. And the first thing I did was found a really muscle, a big muscle dude. And I said, will you teach me how to bodybuild? You look like you know what you're doing. And that's what we do in business, right? Is if we want to do something, we find out someone who's successful and we model them. And the reason being is because we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to recreate something. We just find someone who's successful and we learn from them. And so I became, well, I attempted to become a bodybuilder. And when I moved to Florida, I told everyone, over a million people that followed me, that before 2017 was over, I was going to step or hop on the competitive bodybuilding stage before the year was over. And so I did a 12-week preparation, and I dedicated 12 weeks of my life to training and health and fitness. And I was 10 weeks into my prep, and I went to Vegas for an expo. And one of the days I went to the gym, do you guys know The Rock? So The Rock was in the gym when I was at the gym, and I've been blowing him up with bodybuilding videos for years, and so he already knew who I was. And so I go in the gym, and long and behold, there's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he's surrounded by four security guards, and he's working out. And I'm like, oh my God, it's The Rock. And I told my friends, I said, let's not bother this man. I stick out like a sore thumb. If he sees me, he's going to know who Nick is, right? And so after about 45 minutes of lifting, his security guard comes over and taps me on my shoulder and says, you're Nick, right? I said, not many people look like this. I'm Nick. And he goes, can Dwayne meet you? I was like, dude, bring him on. I've been waiting all this time. And so, you know, they bring me over into the corner, and they bring The Rock over, and The Rock gets on my level or tries his best to get on my level. And he goes, dude, I'm such a big fan. Can I have a picture with you? And on the outside, I'm like, sure, bro. But on the inside, I'm like, oh my God, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Right? Fangirling. And so we took a picture. And I blurted out all my goals to him. I said, I'm going to be the first Calvin Klein model with no legs. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to speak all over the world. And he said, Nick, you're right, because people like you and I, they put us in any industry and we adapt and overcome. And all of us, would you agree, with COVID and this during this weird time, we've all adapted, right? We do school differently. We hang out with friends differently, right? Would you agree we all adapted? And so the more that we exercise the muscle of doing things differently, the more successful we'll be when we're adults. And so after that, I went back to Florida and I competed in bodybuilding against full-bodied guys, and I took third. I beat full-body guys in bodybuilding, but I was telling Russell that I competed in the category where they don't judge your legs. That was important, right? Because I don't got legs. I don't want them to judge my legs. And so I competed and I took third, and I was like the first man with no legs, one arm to jump on a bodybuilding stage. And the quote that I use is, over the 24 years of my life, I realized it's not the physical body that holds us back, but the biggest disability you can have, what do you think it is? Your mindset. Great job. You guys rock.
Next thing I want to talk to you about is, I know in your company you have a program that goes over like a year long, Victorious, right?
Yep.
And each month covers a different letter. So I'd love, just today, and then probably out of time after that, but talking about the V and what that is in Victorious. Yeah. Victorious, right?
Yeah. Junior Victorious.
Yeah, and just talk about that for these guys, because I think that's the first step for a lot of these guys when they're planning goals in sports or school or any of the things they're trying to become.
Yeah, so Junior Victorious, I created it because people like me and Russell, if we have all the knowledge and we don't give it to kids, then what's the use of it? Because we're not going to be around forever. That's just reality. And so we have to teach young people like you so you can come go and take over the world when you grow up. And so Victorious, basically the first month is V, which stands for vision. And what vision is getting really clear on what you want in life. I think you can agree that the majority of humans don't really know what they want in life. They go to work or they go to school and don't really know why. Their first answer is, I have to. But there's a deeper reason why you go to school. You probably want to be something, or you want to do something with your life. And so V is getting clear. Say you're an athlete, it's like, how many wins do you want to have? How many hours a day do you want to drill? What grades do you want to get? Does anyone know what they want to be when they're older? Curious. No idea? You got something in the pink?
I would say it, but I don't think my dad would like it that much.
Got it. Maybe we'll skip over that one. So, but a vision, are you okay? So vision basically is just getting very clear on what you want. And the reason why, do you like cars?
Yeah.
What kind of cars do you like? What kind of car do you want? You don't know?
Just one that goes fast.
Yeah, exactly. So if he says, I want a car and the one that goes fast, he's not going to get it because he doesn't know what car he wants.
Yeah.
So the more clear that he can get on what car he wants, who agrees that he'll get the car faster because he knows exactly what he wants? That's a perfect example of all human beings. They want things, but they don't really know what they want. Right?
Yeah.
And so next time I come back to Boise, I want you to have a specific car that you want so we can go get that car. Is that cool? I'm not buying it. Russell will buy it. But so getting very clear on what you want. And so it's like, who do you want to be? What kind of job do you want to work? What kind of college do you want to go to? What kind of school do you want to be? And the more clear that you can get on things, the faster that you'll get them. That's why, for example, if you wanted a specific car, adults, help me out here because kids are a little bit difficult. Have you ever wanted a specific car and you were driving down the road and it was the only car you saw? Or women, have you ever wanted, I don't wear dresses, but women, have you ever wanted a specific dress and you finally got that dress and then you saw a bunch of other women that had the same dress? It's because your brain will go to what you want. That's why people who are depressed or people who are sad, they'll always be sad because they're always focused on the bad in their life. They're not focused on the good. And so our brain is extremely powerful because say you and I were very heavily invested in real estate and they were whispering a conversation about real estate, we would hear it because our brain would pick up on it because that's where our focus is. That's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The poor always focus on all the bad in their life and the rich are focused on the opportunities. And so your brain is a computer. What you focus on, you will get more of. And so if you're always focused on why me or why is this happening to me or why does my life suck, your brain will always come up with answers of why your life sucks. Who sees that? But if you ask yourself the question of why am I amazing? Why did I get beat by Nora during the wrestling match? Or, you know, why is my life amazing? Your brain will always find the answer. And that's the thing. Our brain is a problem-solving computer. And so it always looks for problems to solve. And you know this. If you're sitting around in your house and you don't have a problem, your brain will think of a problem and you'll try to solve it just because that's the way the brain works. And so I'll give you an easy example. If I woke up every single day, a man with no legs, one arm, and I focus on the fact that I'll never become a professional soccer player, will I be happy or sad? Quick. Sad, right? I'll never become a professional soccer player. That's reality. But if I focus on what are my unique strengths? How can I make people laugh? How can I inspire them? What does my life look like then? It's better, right? It's where my focus is. Like Tony says, where focus goes,
energy flows.
They're a tough crowd.
Okay, next, what questions do you guys have for Nick? Riker.
How do you drive a car?
That's a great question. So I drive a car, regular wheel. He's probably laughing because he doesn't think I could drive a car. So he just got proved wrong real quick. That's like teenage years. They try to test people. And so I drive a car with a regular wheel. That's why he's getting embarrassed. That's why you drive a car with a regular wheel. And then I have a little lever. And I push the lever for brake. And I push the lever over for gas. And I actually have videos of me drifting my race car around the parking lot. Great question.
Cool. What other questions do you have?
You got one?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Aiden?
What's your favorite food?
Ooh, great question. You want to guess?
I don't know.
I like spaghetti. I'm Italian. My parents gave me a lot of spaghetti as a kid. You like spaghetti? Want to go eat spaghetti after this? We can ditch this thing, eat some spaghetti. That's a great question.
Any other questions you guys have? We're super lucky to have him here.
I have a question. How do you like battle the fear of when you're trying to start something new or like try something? How do you like overcome the fear of trying something new?
That's a great question. So they've done I'll give you a little story to help paint the picture. So they've done a study on skydivers. And basically, you know, they hooked the heart monitor up to skydivers. And so when they fly them up in the plane, their heart is going really fast, right? They're getting super nervous. Oh, my God. And then the moment that they jump out of the plane, their heart goes back to the normal speed. And so how do we eliminate fear? We take action. And so a lot of the times, Russell and I are probably scared to do new things. You're scared to launch, well, you're not scared to launch new funnels. You're a master at it. But, you know, launching new things, we're very scared. But I much rather attempt at my dreams and my goals than be on the sideline hoping, wishing, and regretting. Because at the end of the day, we only have one life for all we know. And there's so many people that are sitting on the sideline of life, right? Like making fun of people, bashing them. You can't do this, you can't do that. But I much rather be on the mat rather than on the sideline. And also realizing that failure is just feedback. A lot of the times we get programmed as kids that failure is bad. I don't want to fail, but actually failure is our greatest lesson, our teaching, right? And so I failed a lot at life. Everything was hard for me, getting my clothes on, feeding myself, you know, you name it, it was hard. And that's why I've been so successful, is because I'm not afraid of failure. And so if we learn early on that failure is amazing and failure is our best friend, we'll have a better life. And so a little quote for you to remember, if you want to remember it, is if failure is a foe, you will never grow. If failure is a friend, you'll learn to the end. Super easy. I had to make it super dumb proof for adults as well. So, you want to ask this question?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's just like something about dropping out. Like,
do you want me to ask it for you?
Yeah.
So Dallin wants to be successful in life, but he focuses on, he wants to drop out of high school. So all he ever talks about is, I want to drop out. That's his vision and his goal. Because which is interesting, like, because I think he's got the right mindset. He wants to be successful, but he focuses on that all the time. So his question he wants to ask you is about him dropping out of school. Yeah. Now you can ask it.
Well, how do I say it?
How do you drop out?
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, should I? Do it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you individually pay for your school?
Nope.
So why not get the knowledge if it's free?
I didn't think of it like that, but
because when you're an adult, you're gonna have to pay for knowledge. So if you're getting it for free, why not take an advantage?
Because it's boring. Not boring. Focus on positive.
Great takeaway. But would you agree if something's free, you might as well leverage it?
Yeah.
So if you're forced to go, if you're a teenager and you're stuck in school, why not learn as much as you can because it's free and you're not paying for it? You probably don't take it serious enough because you don't pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you need a little bit more skin in the game.
Maybe. Or yeah, I don't know.
So I'd say get the knowledge while it's there. What is the, who's the OG? He says, broken stupid. Who's that?
Oh.
Zig Ziglar? Is it Zig or Jim Rohn?
I think it's Jim.
One of them.
Yeah.
The worst thing you could be is broken stupid. And on top of that, broke stupid and ugly. You can't fix ugly. So you might as well get the knowledge while it's there. I'm not calling you ugly, but I'm saying is you don't want to be broke or stupid, so get the knowledge while it's there. Right? You're not paying for it. It's free knowledge. You'd be stupid not to take the knowledge.
Yeah.
Dude, once you get out of high school, do what you want. If you can't make it through high school, you ain't going to make it through business.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. High school is easy. Real world's way harder than high school. If you want to quit and tap out in high school, good luck, brother.
Oh, boy.
Let's keep that in there. This is a great lesson. No, that's a great lesson. That's a great lesson. I'm going to post it on my Instagram. What do you think?
Do you have any questions? No? All right. Anybody else?
That was a good question. It takes a lot to ask a question like that. Want to know why? Because most people wouldn't ask that question.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the question. Yeah, great. You want to drop out too? Oh, okay. Just making sure. Just making sure.
No. The good news for all you kids is that everybody wants to drop out. Doesn't mean we do. Yeah. I want to drop out in business lots of times. It gets hard. I get people angry at people suing me. I got all sorts of stuff. And there's tons of times like, oh, it'd be so much easier to drop out. But then it's like, well, I have a vision. We talked about earlier. What's the vision? What are you trying to accomplish in life? You gotta go through a lot of hard stuff to get the good stuff. And if you're not willing to go through the hard stuff, you don't ever get the good stuff.
You want a family one day?
Maybe.
Okay. You want a girlfriend one day?
Yeah.
Yeah? Maybe? Or a boyfriend?
No.
Oh, okay. Just make it, I don't know. Whatever you go. Right? But imagine your kid coming up to you one day and said, My dad's a dropout.
I'd be proud.
Then I like it. As long as you're proud of your decision and you made something of it. But I'm not your dad.
Yeah.
I'm just a coach.
You tell us a story you told in lunchtime about your motivation thing that anchors you back to keep working out hard in hard times.
Yeah. So a lot of people ask me how do you stay so motivated to stay so healthy with no legs, one arm? And the reality is that there's a lot of kids that are paralyzed in wheelchairs. There's a lot of adults that are paralyzed in wheelchairs that look outside every day and say, I wish I could go outside, or I wish I could go to the gym, and they can't. But the one thing, one little visualization that I was kind of going in with him is whenever I feel myself falling off track, I picture me like I'm 24. So I picture myself like 30, 35, and maybe I have a kid or two, and I'm in my office and that kid walks in and says, Dad, why'd you get so fat? Dad, why'd you let yourself go? Dad, you used to be a great speaker. Why'd you give up on your dreams? It makes me feel some type of way. Like if I really went into it, I'd probably start crying because I never want my kid to look at me as a disappointment. And so I may not have kids now, but it's a motivation for me to keep going because at one point I'm not going to be building a business for myself. Who am I going to be building a business for? My family, right? So it's way deeper than us as we get old, but you're young, so you got time. Don't worry about kids calling you fat or anything. But what I'm saying is I visualize, you know, my kids looking at me and I want them to look at me proud, not as a fat dad that gave up on his dreams. Who agrees? Or a fat mom that gave up on their dreams, right? That's a bit aggressive. It works for me.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Great.
Anything else you guys got?
You guys are full of energy. I love it.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming, spending time with us and the kids. And
Nora, thanks for beating me up today.
Awesome. All right, let's give Nick a huge round of applause.
Hey everybody, this is Russell again, and really quick, I just opened up a texting community, which means you can text me your questions, and right now I'm spending anywhere between 10 and 30 minutes every single day answering questions through text message to people who are on the podcast. And so I wanted you to stop everything you're doing, pull your phone out, and actually text me a message, okay? Now the phone number you need to text is 208-231-3797. Once again, it's 208-231-3797. When you text me, just say hello, and then what's going to happen is it'll add you to my phone, and then it'll send you back a message where you can add me to your phone, and then we can start having conversations. On top of that, through this texting community is where I'm going to be giving out free swag, giving away free copies of my book, let you know about book signings, about times I'm coming to your local area, and a whole bunch more. So I want to make sure you are on this list. On top of that, every single day I'm sending out my favorite quotes, my favorite frameworks, and things you can get for free only through my texting platform. So what you need to do right now is pull out your phone and text me at area code 208-231-3797. One more time, that's 208-231-3797. I can't wait to hear from you right now.